We're going to do our young men's.
Jesus loves thee. Yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so.
We will be singing number 453, Love Lived in Me. 453. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply.
I'll be reading Luke chapter 17, verse 12 through 19. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.
Thank you, young man. Several announcements this evening. If you'll bear with me, we'll try to get through all of them. All ladies, you're invited to a bridal shower honoring Katie Clark on Sunday, April the 25th from 2 to 4 at the home of Jewel Gooch. It will take place on the back patio, and a mask is required. Selections are at Bed Bath Beyond, Target, and Amazon. Shower Team 4 is the hostess for this. Senior parents, you need to get 15 to 20 pictures to Justin Beckman by the 21st of April. A thumb drive is acceptable. He also has made up a drop, I believe it's a Google Dropbox, for you to drop those pictures into. Sunday night, April 25th, we'll be celebrating all of our young people that work so hard and made good accomplishments on their Lads to Leaders work. All women and ladies are invited to come and support our young ladies in a girls-led Devo on Sunday afternoon at 4:15 in the ladies' classroom. Our young men will be helping lead that service, the service in here that night at 5 o'clock. Following worship, we'll have a celebration meal, and we'll watch our puppet team skit on the projector and hand out awards. This will be in the fellowship hall after services Sunday evening. Please make plans to support our kids that evening. The junior youth will be going to the Nashville Zoo on Saturday, April the 24th. If you're interested in going, please see Nate or Carla Fulmer. And if you are planning on going, please meet down front tonight for a meeting about that. Our sympathy is extended to Harlan Goolsby and his family. He passed away this morning or last night at his home, and we don't have any arrangements for that yet. Still a few items needed for the North Alabama Christian Children's Home benefit. If you can help with this, sign-up sheets are like on the table in the foyer. Also, help is needed on Thursday, April 29th, and on Friday in getting vegetables prepared for the stews and also getting things ready for the yard sale. Please have all of your yard sale items to the church building by this Wednesday, 4:21, this Wednesday evening by the time services start. There's a sign-up sheet on the welcome booth for senior night, which is Sunday, May the 2nd. If you will be attending this, please sign the sheet so we'll know how much food to order. I believe that's all the announcements that I have for tonight. We'll now begin our evening worship.
I have one more announcement. I get to make the great announcement. We have two young ladies who want to be identified with Florence Boulevard, and they've been worshiping with us now for several months. They're sitting here next to Breanne. We have Emma Schott, and Emma is the sister of Laura and JJ that worship here. And also sitting next to her is Olivia Owens, and Olivia is the cousin to both Emma and Laura. And again, they will be identified with Florence Boulevard, so go by and say a kind word to them, and we look forward to working with you. Appreciate you, ladies.
First song will be number 286, Wonderful Story of Love. If you would, let's all stand as we sing.
Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you be?
Number 469, Faith is the Victory.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe and veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory. Victory, oh, glorious victory, there.
we'll sing number 155, number 155, highest place.
We place you in the highest place.
Pray with me, please. Loving Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we can assemble here freely this evening. Thank you for the good things that we've seen today in the walk for water. Thank you for each one who participated. We pray that money will be raised and that it will benefit people in Africa and Ghana and places where they're so in need of clean water. We pray that along with that water, they will receive Christ and the living water which flows from him and through your gospel. Father, thank you for all those who had a leadership part in that and for each one who went there today and participated. Father, we also pray for the upcoming children's home benefit and trail ride. We ask that you would bless us with good weather. We pray that the amounts of money raised can be a tremendous benefit to the children's home and a blessing for those children who are in need of so much. Father, thank you for each of those who is in leadership in that, for Don and for Robert and for others who take part in that. Father, we thank you for the recent growth in this congregation. We ask that you'll continue to bless us with growth, and thank you for the coming back of many families who haven't been here in a while that feel safe to be out and to be in fellowship with fellow Christians again. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us with growth and help us to continue to be healthy. Pray that you'll bless each one who is suffering from the effects of COVID or from any other sicknesses. We pray that you'll bless those that are going through cancer treatments and other diseases. We ask that you'd be with Larry Phillips and help him to be able to contact a doctor which will find an answer to his problem. Pray that he will be able to enjoy his retirement and that he can live a healthy life again. Father, there are so many who have been suffering from COVID or from sicknesses, and we thank you for answering our prayers concerning them. We pray now that you would bless the Harlan Goolsby family. Help this congregation to remember him and wrap our arms around the family and to be an encouragement to each of them who have lost someone. Father, we pray that you'll be with Austin tonight as he brings us a lesson. Help him to remember the things that he's studied. Father, help us not just to listen to, but to take those words to heart and to use them this week. Father, we pray for our evangelistic efforts. We pray that we can reach many people in our neighborhoods and in this area. Father, we pray for the 60 or more children and grandchildren who were once members of this congregation but have fallen away. We pray that you would help us to reach out to them and to bring them back to you. Father, we feel like they are lost sheep, but I know that angels will rejoice in heaven when they're brought back. Father, we pray that you'll bless each one of us, help us to do our best each day. Pray that you'll forgive us when we fail and help us to encourage one another always. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Our song of encouragement after tonight's lesson will be number 662, if you'd like to mark that. It's I Surrender All. Before Brother Austin speaks to us, we'll sing number 480. If you would, let's stand and remain standing for a reading from God's Word.
We'll be holding This Is Mine in the chorus.
So if you're not sure what I'm referring to, just follow me and we will get through it.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Second Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, and I'm reading from the ESV version. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You may be seated.
Couple of housekeeping things. Walk for Water was great today. You all are great. It was a great event. But the awareness of it and the support that was raised can dig and establish three wells in three different places, which is countless individuals with access to clean water. And that also means that the name of Christ is going to be plastered on those wells. And so people in those countries are going to see the name of Jesus every time they come to drink of water, absolutely for a John 4 type of feel. You know, at the well, here's the Savior. So you helped to make that happen, and I'm so appreciative of that. And after I got lapped by Miss Pat Carpenter holding a jug of water for the fourth or fifth time, I almost just gave up. And she and Miss Brenda. So the walk was great. That was tough on me. I also, in the midst of doing that, forgot to put a belt in the van. So I have broken a rule of mine to tuck my shirt into pants without a belt. That's why I'm standing behind the podium, because I'm embarrassed about it. Unfortunately, at Florence Boulevard, we have an incredibly wide auditorium, so half the church is, they see it. So I'm sorry about that. That bothers me. I'm glad you don't care. Now let's get to the important stuff. I love that song. My story. Praising my Savior all day long. Sunday nights sometimes feel like an all-day event, don't they? But that's my story, and that's your story. A desire and a drive to praise the Lord all day long. An all-day event that we get to praise our God and our church family. And I love that. Amen? I know you do too. So I'm going to pray for this time as God speaks through the word. And I'm going to ask that he'll guide me and open up your heart as well. So if you would bow your heart with me. Holy Father, we're brought to your feet with praise, adoration. Amens are being proclaimed because we are a group of people, Father, that want your will to be done in our life and throughout this world. We want to submit ourselves to you and to your will. Give ourselves over in service and ministry. We have all the desire in the world, and you can tell because how you've worked in this church, Father, is to create an atmosphere and a drive and a want to that is just overflowing. And so for guidance to know how to use that desire and that drive, that's what we pray, Lord. We pray as we open up your word, as it comes alive to us, that we praise you, your Spirit, your Son who lived it, and you as the author who inspired it through your Godhead, and we're amazed by it, Father. And so to be in awe of you through your word tonight is such a gift and a blessing. We pray for a simple mind, understanding, that we receive this message with open hearts. And we pray through the Savior. Amen. I really like that phrase. I think God is calling each one of us to high commitment in a world of low commitment. That's our world. I can't tell you how many times in my life trying to gather people together for certain events. Yeah. 5 minutes before, they're all dropping out. Low commitment. Marriages are fewer now. The divorce rate is going down, but that's also because the marriage rate is going down. People are just not getting married and living together. But for those who are getting married, the divorce rate is still uncomfortably high. Low commitment world. My father talks about his generation, the generations past. They'd get a job, and in their mind, they were going to be loyal to that group. And if they were loyal to that group, eventually that group would be loyal to them and take care of them. Well, today it's just a little bit different. People seem to be skipping around, jumping around because they expect loyalty soon. Help me, take care of me now, and then I'll be loyal to you later. Just is the times. High commitment in a low commitment world is the path to spiritual transformation. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it sheds light on this verse just a little bit. And we all with unveiled face. Well, that phrase of an unveiled face has a lot more meaning to us now in 2021, a year into COVID. But that's what I was talking about, that mask. To figure out what unveiled face means, you need to go up a little bit beforehand and see at the beginning of the paragraph what the flow of text is leading to. Verse 12. So get on up to verse 12. You see, in chapter 3, as you're opening up your Bible to that place, there is a pivot point within this letter, the beginning of the 2 Corinthian letter, talking about how he came preaching and who you are as a person struggling with sin. We're supposed to forgive the sinner. We're only able to do that because of our triumph in Christ. And talking about the covenant, the new covenant that they are in, this pivot point of chapter 3, we get to verse 12, and he says this: since we have such a hope, that is the new covenant, the triumph we have in Jesus, we're very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end, but their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, which means their face is still veiled, which means they can't see what the truth is. Why? Because only through Christ is it taken away. Now, what was happening with Moses in order for him to put on a veil? Well, when he went up onto the mountain of the old covenant to receive that old covenant, since he was in the presence of God, his face shone so brightly like a light that when he came down from the mountain, there was still the glow, a physical glow that he thought it would be better to cover his face so people weren't so taken back by it. So the veiled face is a covering so that people don't see the real presence and the real effect of the presence of God. You see, Moses was in the presence, and the effect of it was that light that was shining off of his face. So he put a veil over it to cover it. And so as Paul was talking to new covenant time people, he said, those Jews who should have understood this still have a veiled face themselves, meaning they're not seeing that the covenant was pointing to Jesus. They're not seeing the real present power and effect of the Christ as the Messiah, the anointed one, the coming king, the prophesied Savior. So they keep the veiled face. Why? Verse 14, their minds were hardened. They weren't able to look past it. They could not open themselves up to the reality that the covenant had been fulfilled. The prophecies had come true. Their minds were hardened. And some, maybe even if you skip all the way down to chapter 4, verse 4, maybe in their case, chapter 4, verse 4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing. From seeing what? The light of the gospel of the glory of God. So their face remained veiled and covered. Verse 15, yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. Sad situation, Paul described. But, verse 16, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed because they can see clearly the power and the presence and the effect of the Messiah. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from the veil. Freedom from the hardening of the heart. Freedom from the gods of this world. Freedom from the enslavement that Satan fools people with. So we, verse 18, we all, because he's speaking to a bunch of Christians, we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are what? Being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. We are beholding. And he's playing back on that imagery of what it must have been like to see the face of Moses and the glow. Beholding has within it this word. It's a power-packed word. Beholding as if in a mirror. And some commentators even say it's not like the mirror we have today where we can see our mug plastered right there in front of us. But probably a beaten-down vessel that reflected light. And as the light hit that vessel that they had beaten down and they had worked it to the point where it could reflect light in some way, how that light reflected off of that object onto their face, and the glow was on their face. And so it's almost as like we're looking at somebody who's holding that object, and the light is bouncing from sun, object to face, and we're beholding the light that is on their face. And so we're beholding this
transformation that Paul uses the imagery of light bouncing off of a mirror. And that's not normal. People don't walk, they didn't walk around with those objects just letting the light reflect from sun, object, face. It didn't happen. That's a unique and special transformation. And so we all, with unveiled face, we are beholding as if in a mirror that's reflecting light onto the face of another individual. What are we seeing? Verse 18, the glory of the Lord. What is the glory of the Lord? The glory, what praises and honors God, is when people are being transformed into the same image. You see, the idea of transformation is metamorphosis. It's being changed after being with somebody or something. It's an experience where you see it happen. When Jesus went in Matthew chapter 17 and Mark 9, and he went up there and the transfiguration took place, the inner circle saw that happen and they were just like, whoa, we should build an altar. We should build a place and worship because this transformation, or as we say, transfiguration, a changing, because they'd been in the presence of something to behold. That glorifies God when people go through that type of a change. Now, what are we being transformed into? This transformation, a couple of verses that pop out that you probably know. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So, there we go. This is what I want you to see. The path to spiritual transformation. Committing yourself highly to live like Jesus. But specifically in this point, believe as Jesus believed with transformed mind. Did he understand the will of God? Yes, in perfection. But did he still have to grapple with the will of God? Yes, oftentimes. We see him on the mountain, agonizing over what the will was. We see him heartbroken at the tomb of Lazarus, when it was the will of God that man should not live forever, but they all taste death. We see Jesus grappling, as every human does, with the will of God, but he still yet believed. Why? Because he had a renewed mind, a transformed mind that would receive and work to understand that will, even if at times he had to grapple with it. Don't you have times in your life where you struggle and you wrestle with the will of God? You try and figure it out. You're pursuing it and thinking about it and studying it and praying over it. But you just seem to be grappling with it. Well, believe as Jesus believed. You are in the place of Jesus if you carry on in obedience and faithfulness. If you don't allow the passions of the world, the desires of the flesh, to pull you away, it's okay to grapple. Believing as Jesus believed. Seeking to understand the will so you can repeat it and live it out. We are being transformed into the image of the light of Christ. Have you read Romans chapter 8, verse 29 lately? I love that verse. We all know verse 28. I've heard a sermon series called The Verse After the One You Know. Romans 8, 28. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We say it real fast. What's 29 say? For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be, watch this, conformed to the image of his son. We are being transformed into the image of the light of Christ. And that itself glorifies God. The painstaking process of spiritual transformation honors the Father. It gives glory to God in whatever step of the journey you're in. Now, I wish I could do a raise of hands. Who's the youngest Christian in here? Who's been a Christian for the fewest amount of days? Now, who's been a Christian for the longest amount of days? Who's the most mature, in the middle, immature of all Christians? And if we were to put everybody on a scale, a spectrum, as we say, from one side to the other, we would have babies and mature grown-ups. But each one glorifies God when they take one step in their transformation. That's so comforting to me. You see, you don't have to bypass all the change and hurry up and get to the mature stage adults like that spiritual giant is just to be glorifying to God. But each one, as they are being transformed, watch this, from one degree of glory to another. What does it mean? Every degree of change is something that glorifies God. So you don't have to beat yourself up for saying, man, I've been a Christian for years. Why am I not like him? Why don't I pray like her? Why haven't I memorized text like that individual? Why can't I lead the study like that? Well, wherever you are, what glorifies God is that you determine within yourself to make one degree of change more closely into the image of Jesus the Christ and the light that he is. Each degree honors God. And who empowers it? The last sentence, verse 18. Well, this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Spirit work that begins with Jesus. It's through the Holy Spirit that the Christ makes his presence manifest in our human spirit. It's amazing to hear some of Jesus' statements, like John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. A wonderful statement Jesus here speaking with his disciples. He says this. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do. Greater? Greater than Jesus? How is that even possible? Greater works than these he will do because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, we had a conversation about this a couple weeks ago, where the person who's being transformed into the image of Christ doesn't just ask for things like genie in a bottle, but they ask for things according to God's will because that's their desire anyway. And so Jesus will clearly work to glorify the Father in that. But this work of the Spirit begins with Jesus. Jesus told his apostles here, I am here, but I'm going. I'll send the helper. He will come, guide you into all truth. From that, you will reach the entirety of the world. Great, great works. And we are a part of that mission still today. High commitment in a low commitment world. It begins with a transformed mind. Living as Jesus lived. Transforming your character. Loving as Jesus loved. Transforming your relationships. Ministering as Jesus ministered. Transform service. And leading as Jesus led. Transformed influence. Transformation, it's not just a piece, but the whole. And it takes over. And consumes you and sets you free. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And for the one who receives the forgiveness of God in the believer's baptism, when you're washed in the blood, receiving forgiveness and the gift of the Spirit so that you can be the temple of that Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, where that Spirit is, there is freedom. Church, there is freedom in Christ alone. And I want you to be highly committed to it. And as I look at that list, mind, character, relationships, service, and influence, I don't think there is a piece of this life that's left off. So if you are not an individual who's completed the transformation, man, I hope this has helped you tonight. And I hope you become highly committed to our Lord in a world of low commitment and watch it change you from the outside in and from the inside out. If we can help you in that transformation, maybe it's receiving forgiveness and baptism, maybe it's support or prayer. Listen, we are a group of people on mission to help one another go to heaven. And we want to help you in that. So let us know. So stand and sing together.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Have not had a chance to take the Lord's Supper today, we do have it prepared. You can exit to the classroom immediately across the hall, and there you'll be served. Thank you for being here this afternoon. We'll be meeting again Wednesday at 6:30, and we hope to see you then. We'll sing one verse of number 808, Abide With Me, after which we will have our closing prayer.
Tonight's service, we want to be mindful of all the little things, all the blessings that you give us, Father. So many of our number have not been able to come and worship, and I have been seeing so many come back. I've seen our number here worshiping grow. And it's the little things that we've got to be thankful for. The ability just to hug someone, to love someone, to touch, to feel their love. Father, we're thankful for your Son who took on all. He took on everything you gave everything for us. He suffered, and he walked a perfect life before he was placed on that cross. And we're thankful, and we pray that our story, our life, will resemble that of your son. He had to endure the same things we did. He had to struggle with the same things that we struggle with in our everyday life. Father, be with us. Help us to keep at bay those things that tempt us. But again, Father, we are so thankful that you are here with us always, that you keep your promises, that one day we will be with you and with those that have gone on before us. But we pray this through your Son, and the only way we can, through Jesus. Amen.